We are rolling.
Okay. Judy Unger. Jason Mark, He Left His Mark, Part 1. Suddenly, I woke up in the darkness. An icy wave had come over me. It was so cold, and it gave me chills throughout my body. I had a pit in my stomach. It was so deep, it was unlike anything I had ever felt in my life. I laid there in the darkness, willing myself not to go to those worry places. Suddenly, the phone rang. The voice on the other end was lying to me. "I'm sorry, but you need to come to the hospital right now. Your son is not doing very well." After that, I had the worst panic attack of my life. It went on and on. I could not stop shaking in terror. Where the hell were my shoes, my robe, my glasses, and my keys? My young son was shrieking as I brought him to his babysitter. I called my parents. They were waiting for me to pick them up. It was the longest drive of my life. My heart was pounding and pounding. I thought my head was exploding. It was still dark outside. My parents came into my car. My mother and I were wailing in unison as I drove to the hospital. We parked, but we did not remember where the PICU was. We ran down the wrong hallway. We kept hitting dead ends. We were lost. We were crying out loud. We desperately asked a guard to help us find our way, and then he pointed and we got lost again. Suddenly, I saw him. It was my husband. He was at the end of the hallway, at the very end. He was running towards us. He was crying loudly. I started screaming. We were all screaming and crying so loudly because we knew. We knew the unthinkable had happened. Maybe it wasn't unthinkable, but there was no way for me to have prepared myself for this. Michael sobbed, "He's gone." My husband had always been shy and discreet. I had never seen him cry before. He finally reminded my parents and me how noisy we were. We stopped screaming. The surgeon came to see us. I dismissed her and told her, "Go the hell away." She was crying, but I decided I didn't have to listen to hearing about cardiac abnormalities ever again. We were told we had to wait. They needed to fix our son up in order for us to see him. My mother said she couldn't do it, but my father said he would come in with us. They would remove some of the tubes. I was certain the expensive pacemaker would be taken out after we left. It was now time for me to go in and face seeing death. It would be the first dead person I had ever seen in my life. We walked into the intensive care ward. Every nurse and person there bowed their heads. They had pity and compassion in their eyes, but they avoided looking at us. I could not see the freckles. I could not hear the voice. My son had been dead now for about 3 hours. He had probably died at the moment I had felt that wave of dread. I was almost certain of that. I was told that when I was called to come to the hospital, his heart had already stopped. His pallor was white as snow. The most shocking part was his blackened lips and lifeless open eyes. I would never forget his dead eyes for the rest of my life. Only the night before, those eyes were intelligent and sparkling with joy and laughter. There was no question that he was gone. And this was only a corpse. He felt so stiff and cold. I held on to him as long as I could. I cried and cried. My father says that every time he sees a penny on the ground, he is reminded of Jason. Jason loved finding pennies. My dad says when he sees a penny, he believes Jason is with him. He says he will see him in heaven.
Wow. Well, that's incredibly powerful, of course, and so sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
For your loss. I certainly you know, deal with you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, in delivering something that's that close to you.
Yes.
Obviously, those emotions come through. I think in terms, you want to put this into an audiobook, right?
And yes.
Now, are you going to, what are you going to do once you do that?
I have no idea how to market it. My story is actually about healing from grief. This happened 28 years ago. And it's very fresh because I didn't write about it. But when I told my story, it allowed me to release the pain. And then I found that if I became a songwriter and my music healed me. So my book is actually about music and healing.
Well, that's wonderful. That's beautiful.
I hope to help other people.
Sure, absolutely.
So it's not all this emotional, but it is hard not to read it without the emotion.
Of course, of course. But in terms of, you know, putting that into an audiobook and making that marketable.
I mean, yes.
Some things that you want to do. You can't always be at that level.
No, you can't. It'd be too difficult.
Right. So you have to find the ways to make it a little more subtle.
Okay.
In different places. You can't always be at that same, because you have to build, you know, the emotion to those, to
true,
those points. So there, but I understand the emotion, and it's great that you're able to use that as a release. And
thank you.
To find a way to do that. So there are just ways that you would then bring this alive through an audiobook format.
Yeah.
So, but that was...
That's the most emotional part. The rest of the book has, leading up to it, a lot of story. And then that was like the climax.
Okay. Well,
so after that, it goes down.
Okay. Well, it was truly emotional, and we certainly felt that.
Thank you. I'm glad I could share it.
Well done.
All right. Thank you.
We're so sorry.